Well, as you know, Luis Posada Carriles is a confessed right-wing terrorist and a CIA agent who Cuba and Venezuela charge was the mastermind of the 1976 bombing of a Cuban airliner, which killed 73 people, including the entire Cuban Olympic fencing team. Posada also admits that he was involved in the 1997 bombing campaign of tourist hotels in Havana, Cuba, in which an Italian tourist was killed and many others injured. Posada has also been linked to numerous plots to kill Cuban President Fidel Castro. Posada illegally entered the United States in March 2005 and was arrested 2 months later on May 17, 2005. He was being held in a New Mexico jail until he was freed on bond this past April 19th. Last week, on May 8th, Judge Kathleen Cardone dismissed all 7 charges of violating U.S. immigration laws against Posada. Meanwhile, Washington continues to ignore repeated extradition requests from Venezuela, which wants to try him for the 1976 airline bombing, which Venezuelan authorities charge he planned in Venezuela. Decades ago, Posada worked for the Venezuelan secret police when that country had a right-wing government. Last Thursday, May 10th, in congressional hearings, Representative William Delahunt from Massachusetts grilled Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez as to why Posada was not designated and treated as a terrorist. Today, Posada is living at his home here in Miami. With us to talk about this case of Luis Posada Carriles is Ricardo Alarcón, the president of the Cuban National Assembly, speaking to us direct from his office in Havana. We are also joined by Gloria LaRiva, the coordinator of the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five in San Francisco. Welcome to you both. Are you both there?
Yes.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here with you again.
Thank you. It's good to hear you again, Mr. Alarcón. Always a pleasure to have you here on the airwaves in Miami. I know you don't get the opportunity that often. Mr. Alarcón.
Only through you.
Thank you. Mr. Alarcón, how does the Cuban government interpret the release from jail and the dismissal of charges against Luis Posada Carriles?
Well, I would say that this is an insult to not just to the Cubans, but to the Caribbean people. Let me tell you something, that when Posada was arrested in Trinidad and Tobago in 1976, it was the result of the efforts of two Caribbean nations, Barbados and Trinidad and Tobago, two nations that had just achieved independence. These two small little island states in the Caribbean, newly born, showed at that time a very serious and very astonishing sense of dignity and independence when they simply tried to find out the truth about what happened. It was the first time in this area that the plane was blown up in front of everybody. And that was a shock, but they handled that in a very serious manner. Then, we met, at that time, let me tell you this, I was ambassador from Cuba to the UN, but I was ambassador also to Trinidad and Tobago. I was there, I was present in the meetings that took place in Trinidad, convened by the Trinidadian government. And the whole nations involved in that affair decided that, well, the technical investigation was conducted brilliantly by Barbados. Through that investigation, they determined, with the participation of U.S. representatives, U.S., Canadians, because the plane was originally built in by U.S. company, but was the property of a Canadian enterprise, then they did participate in that investigation. And the investigation showed that the destruction of the plane was the result of two bombs that were placed on the plane. Secondly, the Trinidadian authorities arrested two individuals that happened to be Venezuelans that had been in Barbados, that had left the plane before the explosion. And through the cooperation of both authorities of these two islands, they conducted the criminal investigation. But that investigation led to the discovery of the fact that two individuals living in Caracas, Venezuela, Luis Posada Carriles and Orlando Bosch, were the masterminds of that act. The two material authors of the attack were also Venezuelans. Then we agreed, Barbados, Trinidad, Cuba, Guyana, and Venezuela, that they should be tried in Venezuela. It is not Hugo Chavez demanding that these people, that Posada, be sent back to Caracas. No, it was an international decision. Don't forget also that the plane was Cuban. Most of the passengers were Cuban, but also there were 10 Guyanese young people, Guyanese youngsters that were going to Havana to study medicine, to become medical doctors, to help others, to save lives. And these young people were killed, were destroyed by that incident. It was something very important for the people in the Caribbean. While we are now looking at this situation in which the U.S. has finally found that guy who escaped from a Venezuelan prison, escaped from the trial that he was being conducted against him for this incident, and the U.S. just saying, no, we're not going to send him back to Venezuela. No, by doing that, they are ignoring international law, American law, but also they are insulting the victims and the entire Caribbean community. That's my reaction to that very unfortunate decision.
And we're speaking to the president of the Cuban National Assembly, Ricardo Alarcón, who is a veteran of the July 26th movement, a longtime spokesperson for the Cuban Revolution. And we are also joined by Gloria LaRiva, who is the coordinator of the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five. Mr. Alarcón, we have Gloria with us, too, just in the event that your phone line cuts off, as often happened in our last interview with you. But, Gloria, there were demonstrations around the U.S. calling for Posada's extradition to Venezuela last Friday, May 11th, and there was also a demonstration here in Miami on Saturday, May 12th. Can you tell us a little bit about these actions?
Yes. First of all, last Wednesday, the judge in El Paso, Texas, dropped the charges against Posada, which meant that there would be no trial of anything against him. And therefore, the Friday day when the court hearing was supposed to be held against him, this last Friday in El Paso, Texas, instead it became a day of worldwide action of protest, as you mentioned. There were demonstrations in over 20 cities in the United States, from El Paso to New York, Washington, Chicago, Seattle, L.A., San Francisco. And in Miami, it was on Saturday, this past Saturday, May 12th. There were close to 100 people at the immigration offices in Miami. And it's important for, in the Cuban progressive community of Miami, which points out the utter hypocrisy of U.S. policy toward Haitian immigrants, people who come by boat, many of whom drowned a couple of weeks ago tragically, who were denied the privilege that Cubans who come illegally into the U.S. are granted through the Cuban Adjustment Act, and yet a terrorist, as Posada, who entered illegally 2 years ago into Miami, has all immigration charges dropped against him, has been treated by the Bush administration as a special guest, but we see the very racist policy toward Haitians, Mexicans, and other immigrants. This really stands out. So in El Paso, Miami, part of the demand was immigrants, yes, terrorists know. There is a reason why the U.S. did not want to try Posada, even under immigration charges, was because the defense attorneys of Posada said, if you put him on trial for anything, we will reveal that he was an employee of the CIA for more than 25 years. In other words, it was a sort of backhanded blackmail to the U.S. government, because it is true. His terrorist acts were carried out as an CIA agent. And that was the importance of having the demonstrations. The Miami protests received quite a lot of coverage. And Miami is now where Posada is, so the focus is on Miami and what will the city do with the terrorist along with his accomplice, Orlando Bosch, both residing in Miami with a handful of other very dangerous individuals. It's necessary for the total Miami community, Haitian, Cuban, African-American, white, everybody to say, extradite this man, get him out of Miami and into Venezuela.
And that's Gloria LaRiva, the coordinator of the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five. And we hope that Mr. Posada and Mr. Bosch are following this broadcast. Mr. Alarcon, can you tell us a little bit about Posada's other exploits in trying to make terrorist attacks and attempts on President Fidel Castro's life?
Well, the judge herself, in her decision, recalled that this man has been involved in the most infamous events that have taken place in this area in the last half a century, from the Bay of Pigs to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Those are her words. She described what, more or less in a succinct paragraph. But this guy was never presented to a U.S. court because of any of those exploits. He was just presented as a person that has violated migratory laws and immigration laws in the U.S. Thousands of Haitians and thousands of people from other Latin American countries are expelled without any trial, without any process of law, without lawyers, without media attention, every day from the U.S., from your country, every day. This man has managed to get involved in a so-called immigration matter that was a trick by the U.S. administration not to try him as what he is, as a terrorist. It's a very long story. This is a man that has given interviews to the New York Times, to the Miami Herald. He has written a memoir describing his long story of involvement in anti-Cuban terrorists. Not only anti-Cuban, he had killed people in the U.S. territory. He had killed Americans. He has been involved in assassinations, even in Washington, D.C., Orlando Letelier and Ronnie Moffitt and others in Miami. Many in Miami, hundreds of bombs thrown in Miami in the 70s. Then, I want to salute Gloria, because I know she's here, there. She is very much involved and active in the struggle to free the Cuban Five. And that's the other side of the coin, of the same coin. Why Cuba sent five brothers there to Miami? Because we had to learn, we had to find out what's going on. But as the plans of the terrorists, because the U.S. was not going to suppress their activities to act in order to avoid terrorist attacks against our people, against Fidel Castro, but also against normal Cubans, common Cubans, street Cubans. And that's the substance of the story of the Cuban Five. They were indicted, prosecuted, accused and sentenced because they were involved in trying to find out the plans of the terrorists from Miami. That is written very explicitly expressed in the, throughout the whole process against them in Miami. And also, my friend, a very clear violation of U.S. law. They asked to be tried not in Miami, but in Florida, in Broward, not far from Miami. And the judge, at the request of the government, refused. They had to be tried in Miami, in front of a jury that was threatened, that was fearful of precisely those terrorist attempts and attacks against human beings, not just in Cuba, but also in Miami. That's a very clear case. It's a very clear demonstration of how the U.S. has, what people used to say, double standard on the war on terror. Some Haitians have been detained in Miami, allegedly because they wanted to attack, I don't know, some place in Chicago. Many people are every day expelled from the U.S. territory because they enter without a proper visa. So there is one, just one person, Mr. Luis Posada Carriles, that is not detained, is not accused, is not prosecuted. He has a friend, Mr. Orlando Bosch, that was pardoned by President Bush's father 10 years ago. What is the difference between Mr. Bosch and Mr. Posada with the thousands, millions of Latinos and Caribbean people that are there, including many, many Haitians? That those millions of people are not terrorists. And Posada and Bush are terrorists, but are Bush terrorists. Terrorists that are supported and sustained by the administration. It's a very clear case that unfortunately don't reach the big media in that country, and many Americans ignore it.
And we are speaking with Ricardo Alarcón, the president of the Cuban National Assembly. And yes, we are also in the Haitian community aware of this double standard. There is another CIA agent and a former death squad leader known as Emmanuel Toto Constant, who headed a death squad called FRAP in Haiti during the 1991 to 1994 coup, which was responsible for over 5,000 deaths, who also received a de facto political asylum in the United States for at least 10 years until last summer, when he was arrested, not for his crimes against humanity, as he's been charged and convicted of in Haiti, but rather for mortgage fraud. He was swindling banks out of millions of dollars. And he now will be sentenced tomorrow in Brooklyn, and there will be a demonstration in front of the courthouse there calling for the judge to give him a maximum sentence. It's not a charge against his crimes against humanity and his terrorism, but it is against the and against the torture that he carried out, but it is just for mortgage fraud. It's a start. Can you tell us, Mr. Alarcón, the Cuban Five have some possibility of another hearing this summer? Can you tell us about that? Or Gloria Larriva?
Well, on August the 20th, there will be another oral argument in front of the Atlanta Court of Appeal. It has been going on for... It will be 9 years next September. They will have another argument in front of the appeal court, and we hope that in the not too distant future that court will finally make their determination. But it can go. You know, if you are not a terrorist, if you're not a member of the Bush clan, you can be there for years and years and years either going through a very complicated and manipulated legal process, like the fight has been going, or you can stay in Guantanamo Bay for years without any trial at all. That's a big problem. And what is the reason for that? The reason for that is that Americans do not know. Why? Because this evening you will turn to your TV set in Miami and you won't find a word about that. You may find stories about other court trials and so on, but never. If you are black, if you are Latino, if you are poor, you will not get through the media. And that is the big, the really big challenge that we are facing. We are waiting. We are, of course, we have to handle that battle also, the legal battle, with our lawyers, with our friends, and it will be held this oral argument on August the 20th in Atlanta, in Georgia, and let's see what happened there after the result of that. The determination of the Court of Appeals, of course, we will either continue appealing or the government will appeal in case they were to be defeated. Let's see, nobody knows what the... But that's one dimension of the problem, the legal dimension. But the legal issue is how to get the people know what's going on, the substance of this issue, and the connection with the American realities, today's realities. That Posada Carriles is the best example of what the reality is.
Mr. Alarcon, people have been following very closely the health of President Fidel Castro. Can you tell our listeners what is his status now? Will he be resuming his post anytime soon, and what can you tell us about that?
Well, President Fidel Castro continues to follow his doctor's indications of what he should do and what he should not do. He's recovering fairly well. He continues to be very much aware and following the... I can't tell you this. He knows that I am talking with you now. He's following every important step that we are conducting at this moment. He knows very well what's going on in the struggle to denounce the situation around Mr. Posada, and also the plight of our Cuban Five, and including the fact that he was going to meet with you by telephone. And by the way, I am glad to send on his behalf a salutations to the Haitian community, to your people, our brothers and sisters, the closest island, the closest nation to us, not just geographically, but historically.
And we should also say that in addition to the extradition of Posada, the Haitian community here is pushing for the extradition of the former de facto Prime Minister La Tortue to Haiti to be tried for his crimes. Mr. Alarcon, in the case of Posada, is there any other communications that the Cuban government has had with the U.S. authorities about Posada's terrorist activities? The Miami Herald 2 weeks ago had an article saying that there were communications. What is your response to that article?
Essentially, the story in that article is correct. It's accurate. Yes, the U.S. authorities requested that a team of FBI people came down here to collect information and evidences regarding terrorist attacks against Cuba promoted by people living in the U.S. territory. And we received them. they came down here, and let me tell you that they got everything they wanted there, and that they have sufficient information to prosecute Mr. Posada and others, and that was not the first time. We have been doing that. Why? Because we have no option. It's an international obligation, and we want to save lives. If we know that somebody is plotting to destroy the building down here or to kill people down here, and we know that they are there, we know who they are and where they are moving and so on, we should share that information with the authorities that are supposed to control them and to avoid those things happening. And it's a moral obligation, it's a legal obligation, and now, according to the last international decisions taken after 9/11, it's a clear obligation that every state has. They have been here, they know that we know what they know, we know very well, because it was not by a chance, you know, they requested those visits in a formal way. Don't have all those documents very well prepared. Someday, if it is necessary, we'll show them. That's not our interest. We didn't leak that information. It was in Miami Herald, as you recall. But it is true. If you ask me, I have to tell you, it's true that they asked for that. They came down here. We met with them, and they got whatever they wanted to get. We are still waiting. Is the U.S. government going to ask against these terrorists that are acting freely, openly, with impunity in this area? Or are they continue to protect them and to not to permit justice to be done? That is also the best demonstration, the best proof that the five are innocent, that we had a reason, we had a rationale, we had an obligation, a necessity to protect ourselves by sending people there peacefully without harming anybody, just to learn, to penetrate those groups and to learn about their plans. At the same time, we try to get the U.S. to act against those plans. Please, you know, we know this and so on. Then they came down here and we gave them. That's true. It's substantial. The Miami Herald story in that regard is correct. The question is, who leaked that information to them? Why they did that? And why? What are they intending to do now?
And we again are speaking with Ricardo Alarcón, the president of the Cuban National Assembly, and Gloria Lariva, the coordinator of the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five, is also on the line with us. Gloria, let me just ask you, for listeners following the case of Posada Carriles and the case of the Cuban Five, where can they go and how can they get involved in the struggles to extradite Posada and free the Cuban Five?
Yes, thank you. I think that there's something very critical people can do, which is having an effect on the case of Posada Carriles. If they look up, if people who have internet access can key in answercoalition.org, and anybody who lives in the United States can put their zip code in, and an automatic letter goes to Congress, to your representative in Congress. You don't have to be registered to vote. And that letter in turn goes to, is a letter to Congress that says, we demand that you tell Alberto Gonzalez, the U.S. Attorney General, to declare Posada a terrorist and extradite him to Venezuela. It's necessary because there's worldwide opposition. There's virtually nobody who supports the Bush administration on this. And as you mentioned, Congressman Delahunt is leading a fight against Posada. So every letter counts. If people look up answercoalition.org, that will help a lot. Also, in Miami, there will be a very soon a screening of the movie Posada, Terrorism Made in the USA. It's an excellent film. It has just been produced in Venezuela. We showed it in Washington, D.C. in El Paso this past weekend. It was, people who saw it were stunned by it. It's a shocking revelation of the U.S. CIA links with Posada Carriles. And if they can get a hold of you, Kim, and through your radio station, if you have a way for people to contact you in the community, we will in turn give you the information. It will be sponsored by the Alianza Martiana, the Cuban Progressive Coalition in Miami. And Miami is very important. I don't think that the majority of the people of Miami agree with what is taking place, but Miami is under the control of so many of these right-wing terrorist organizations and individuals. Everything from the courts to the police who brutalize Haitians and Black Americans, the whole institution of Miami runs the city in favor of the terrorists. And it's important for the people of Miami who don't agree with this to stand up and be counted. So thank you for how they can find out about this. If they want to know more about the Cuban Five, they can look up in the website freethefive.org. Again, five is spelled out. That's freethefive.org. But immediately they can write a letter to their congressperson through the Answer Coalition website.
And in our final minute, Ricardo Alarcón, we'd like to give you the last word.
My last word is to salute all of you, our brothers and sisters from Miami, the Haitian community in Miami. Let me tell you this. You interviewed me in July after President Castro got his health problem, and I read in some news outlets, commercial, and they refer to my statement to a Miami radio station, but it didn't mention that this was your station and that this was a station connected with the Haitian community. I saw that as some sort of racist and extreme right-wing approach. They wanted to ignore you, and I would like to say you this. I appreciate very much this opportunity to talk to you, to your people. You are our brothers and sisters, and we have been, both Haitians and Cubans, victims of state terror and humiliation and oppression for many, many years. But now we are living in a different era. We are living in at the moment where the Latin American people, the Caribbean people, are beginning to stand up and conquer their freedom and their ideas of justice and equality that have been moving us throughout history. That's why I'm very glad to talk with you and to say again, thank you.
Thank you very much, Ricardo Alarcón, the president of the Cuban National Assembly, and Gloria de la Riva, the coordinator of the National Committee to Free the Five. And we hope to have you both again back here on the airwaves in Miami sometime soon. Thank you again.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Mr. Alarcón.
Thank you.